Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. We thank you for tuning in with us this morning here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Baba Jahi with We Work From Home, your home-based business morning show, Home-Based Business 101. And again, it is a beautiful day, a beautiful, beautiful day. And hey, as I always say, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We want to just thank everyone for taking time out of their morning schedule to join us this morning. And our program today is we're going to focus on today about why you need to have a business plan. Yes, even if you're going to do a home-based business, you still need to have a business plan. And we're going to give out some resource information today that you can obtain for free to help you with your business plan development. And, you know, because this thing called the Internet, it is so wonderful. It is so powerful to have just so many tools, you know, right at your hand in terms of, you know, that you can just immediately access. And so, you know, today I'm going to give out some valuable resources that you can obtain for free, you know, via the Internet that can help you with business plan development and writing. Because, you know, I always tell people, go find the information yourself first. Interpret it. Analyze it. You know, God gave you a brain. You can think. Don't let nobody tell you you can't. And then if you have questions, then go seek out professional help. And you can still get professional help a lot of times on the Internet for free. But, I mean, there's people out there right now that I know, you know, that make big money writing business plans for people. I'm going to tell you a little secret about a business plan. Nobody can write your business plan for you. It's got to come from your heart. See, now, most people ain't going to tell you that. People can help you with the technical aspects, you know, help you shape your idea. But it's got to be your idea. See, you can't tell somebody, well, I want to go into such and such business, write a business plan for me. It ain't them. It's got to be you. Yes, people, it's got to be you. See, it's got to come from you. So let's take care of that myth first. Let's get that one knocked down and out of the way. See, it's going to be your business. Your business has to be something, as one of the people that inspired me about, you know, business and all of this stuff. And like I said, I've been in business for myself since 1980, and it's been a wonderful journey. But, you know, Les Brown said a long time ago, you know, you got to be something that you love. See, because when you love it, see, you're going to do it anyway. And so, sure, you need to make sure you know that you got a decent business plan about what you love, so that, you know, so you just ain't out there totally on emotions. But see, you gotta love it. If you don't love it, you ain't gonna do it. It's gotta be like his mama's sweet potato pie. Just gotta make your toes wiggle. See, folks, I mean, I'm saying you got to love what you do. That's the freedom of going into business for yourself. That's why I've been in business since 1980, and it's been a journey, a wonderful journey, and one that I cherish and really love. I mean, you know, my wife today, I met my wife during, you know, the development of my life when I was building a business and searching for business development. See, and I'm glad I met her in that phase of my life, because that has sustained, you know, our relationship. Our relationship is, yes, more than business, but I'm just saying is that if you know, in the days when my life was about clubbing and partying, then, you know, if I had met my wife then, I don't know, we might not be together then. I mean, we might not be together now, but, you know, because, you know, there's so much more substance to the emotional side of our relationship, because we met when we both were searching for business development, financial freedom, and just a whole nother way of living. So let's get into the subject matter. You know, I didn't give you enough a little background stuff here. Let's get into the subject matter. And today we're going to be on to 9:45, because I've got a few commercials I'm going to mix in with the show. I'm going a little bit, I think a little bit, you know, different as we get here to the new year. Normally, you know, I do a 30-minute run here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This is going to be a two-part show. We're going to do the show today, and we're going to also do this show Thursday with part two. And, you know, we want to start off with, you know, when to plan first, you know, because, you know, when you get into that, to that concept of, you know, from concept to reality, a good business plan is a scaffolding that supports your business ideas. You move it from concept to reality, taking it through the following steps. There's four steps that you're going to take your business plan through. Four steps, people. And this information that I'm giving you, I'm going to also tell you where you can access it before the show is over. But you can write it down, but I'm going to tell you where you'll be able to access it. Get it for free, a resource that I use for free. And, you know, it's a powerful resource, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. But let me get into these points. Number one, identify or create the business concept. This is the aha stage of the business life cycle. Here, entrepreneurs first conceive of their business ideas. They might jot notes on a paper napkin, run their ideas past their friends, or start looking around on the internet to see if anyone has tried the idea before. So you know what? You know, the first thing is identify or create your business concept. What is your idea? You know, we all have different ideas, you know, and what is your idea? And what are you going to do with that idea? You know, and what you got to do is you got to identify that idea. And let me give you a little bit again about myself. One of my first businesses, me and a friend of mine, we was in college. We was in New Orleans. And we was trying to think of a way to make some extra money. And, you know, we had an apartment and, you know, we were going to school. And, you know, we wanted to do something else. We knew we didn't want to tie ourselves up with job, because we knew if we took on job, then there was set hours, set commitments, and we needed something that we could do where our schedule could be flexible. So my first business partner and good friend that I went to college with, and don't know where he is today, but you know, I hope he's out there maybe somewhere listening. Maybe we can get connected again through the cyberspace thing called the internet. He came home one day and he said, "Man, I got this idea." I said, "What?" He said, "We can create a business called a cooperative call order market." So I looked at Achille and I said, "Achille, what?" He said, the cooperative call order market." I said, "Well, you know, okay, we're running by me. What is this cooperative call order market? What is it you're thinking about?" He said, "Look, we go down to the French market. We get fresh vegetables and stuff. We bring them back to our apartment. We bag them, we go door to door, and we sell them to senior citizens who don't really, you know, have the means all the time to be able to get out, but like fresh food." So he did a couple things. One, he identified the product. Two, he identified who was going to market to and the business concept. See, we just, first piece I talked about, identifying your business concept. He did that in his outlook. So what we did was we went to the French market. First thing we sold door-to-door was sweet potatoes. We started off with one product that we knew would not go bad on us real fast to give us time to develop a clientele. So we got several bushels of sweet potatoes. It was in our apartment. Now, naturally, you know, our friends that we went to college with, they laughing at us, you know. "Y'all going to do what? Sell sweet potatoes door-to-door." You know, they laugh. But, you know, we had this passion for, you know, one was a business idea. Two, you know, the thing was, okay, we got a target market. We knocked door to door and we found seniors that would buy our bag of sweet potatoes that we had bagged up, 75-cent a bag. And, you know, before we knew it, what happened was Miss Mary told Miss Sue, Miss Sue told Miss Linda, Miss Linda told Miss Elizabeth, Miss Elizabeth told Miss Jane told Miss Margaret, and then we had developed a clientele. So, you know, we had the sweet potato thing going on. So, you know, we knew that they would get sweet potatoes from us. Then, you know, we started adding on some other things that we could store in the apartment that wouldn't go bad. We knew also seniors got their checks on a certain time of the month. So we made sure, again, in terms of target market, when are the people going to have the money to buy the product? So we took and we went out during that specific time of the month. That's when we worked. We bust our butt, you know, working during that time of the month. We know the other times of the month was not during check time, and, you know, it was going to be hard to sell stuff because we wasn't trying to sell to everybody. We had a target market, and we had a target product. Make a long story short, you know, eventually we was able to sell people over 10 to 15 different products that we bought from the French market in New Orleans. We used to have to go to the French market, meet farmers and stuff down there at 5 o'clock in the morning and get all of these things. Fortunately, it wasn't that far from our apartment, and we was able to, walk back and bring the stuff back. We didn't have a car, so sometimes we'd have to make 3 and 4 trips, to the French market to get the things that we wanted. And we had to, storm in our apartment, make sure that we didn't have no pests in there eating up all of this fresh produce and stuff like that. But, we had did step one, which we had took, and we actually began to write these things down, and it helped us with our business plan. We had identified and created a business concept. Step two, refined the business concept. We did that, developed a business plan, and obtaining funding. Now, that's step four. Now, the funding that we used, because we used our own money. What you want to be able to do when you're doing a business plan to create, certain type of businesses, you got to figure where's the money going to come from. We'll get deeper into that as we go through this discussion about, developing your business plan. But that was the very first business that I was involved in. From that, me and my buddy, we eventually developed another business. We decided as we moved further on and was finishing college, before I get to the other point, the thing that was ironic about selling the produce door to door and developing a clientele is that ultimately we ended up through that business venture making more money than our friends that were working jobs and going to school. And even though they laughed at us, we worked about 10 days out of the month, and we made more money than they made the whole month. So, again, that's one of the things that excited me, as a young person, about wanting to go in business for myself, and really taking advantage of it. And that was 1979, 1980. And so by the time, I finished college, me and my buddy, we had made a pact, similar to the pact, if you ever read the book called The Pact, where the three young men out of Newark, who made a pact to become doctors together. I tell you, get that book. It is such a powerful book to read. I probably, one of these shows I'll do a show about that in terms of like commitment obligations and getting through challenges and obstacles. But that is a very, very powerful book. They also have a website called thedoctors.com and thedoctorsfoundation.org, I believe it is. But anyway, to get back to my point, was we in 10 days out of the month, we made more money than our friends did working a job. Next business we took on was called Think Tank Consultants. We decided we wanted to become consultants. And my buddy, again, he had this vision, he hit me with it again one day, because I had been president of NAACP in New Orleans and did a lot of work in the community and stuff. And so he said, look, man, all of these things you've done, like voter registration projects and stuff like that, he said, there are people that'll pay us to do these things. And so, we developed this thing called Think Tank Consultants. And with that, we, began to put together a business plan around that. So, we just went through what we call when to write a business plan. It's turning your concept to reality. And then there's some things you need to do before writing your business plan. And before writing your business plan, preparatory steps. Evaluating and planning your business is critical preparation for writing and convincing business plan. That process includes one, we just talked about, is refining your business concept. You got to make sure that your business concept is very, very, defined. Like I said, the first business I shared with you that I was involved in, we knew what our business concept was. We was going to sell fresh produce door to door. Validating the market. You got to know who's your market, who you're going to market to. You just can't say, I'm going to, like in sales, some people think, well, I'm going to sell to everybody. No. There is a target market. You got to validate your market. Whatever business you're going to have, you have to know who you're marketing to. You just can't say, I'm going to market to everybody. It don't work like that, people. That's destined for failure. Listen to me. That's destined for failure. You have to have a specific market that you have identified. And our first, it was senior citizens. We did not try to sell to other people other than senior citizens. You couldn't get us out of our market. Why? Because we knew that market worked. And that market gave us a tremendous referral market, because when we treated those people right, let me show you some of the spillover effect from that. What happened was we had developed such a good reputation with the people that were our customer base that we had seniors that we used to cash their checks for them. They was like, you know, there's some nice, you know, I mean, I'm just telling you how it worked. And so we knew, you know, some things that you got to do, too, in your business. We had pleasing personalities. We would go the extra mile. We, you know, here we selling them sweet potatoes door to door, but we might, Miss Murray, you know, we might, you know, Miss Murray might need some help putting the trash out. We put a trash out for her. You know, a couple of the people, the spillover effect was that we could come back, you know, and we cut their grass for them. We raked their leaves. See, so there's some other side benefits that came along, but it all started off from doing, you know, the door-to-door piece with them, but we developed a clientele and we stuck to our market. You got to know what your market is. See, so that's very, very important, is identifying the market, because if you want to get funding, that's your funder going to ask you, who's your market and how you plan on dealing with that market. Other thing, you got to know who your competition is. Know who your competition is. Well, for us, in the case of what we were doing with door-to-door vegetables, there was nobody that was doing what we was doing in the area that we was in. So you just had to go out and buy this stuff. So we didn't have any competition, but you need... And any decent business plan, you have to write who your competition is. First business me and my wife had when we ran a culture center in Baltimore, when we put together our business plan to get the building that we got from the city, we had to explain who was the competition in the area. And, you know, what they offered, what we offered. What was different about what they offer? What was different about what we offered? What was unique that we offered? What was unique that they offered? What was our strengths and weaknesses? What were their strengths and weaknesses? And what was going to be our competitive edge? You got to know your competition. That's very important to your business plan, knowing who your competition is. Next is assessing your market opportunity. You can have a great concept. You can be able to identify the market. You can analyze your competition. But you got to know what is your market opportunity. You know, what is your market opportunity? Is that, you know, I mean, just because sounds good, looks good, might not be the right time. You know, what is, you know, and that's key. You know, I mean, there's people that have tried things that just the timing was off, just didn't, the opportunity was not there. So you got to be able to assess the opportunity. Again, with my first business, the opportunity was there. Because we knew that a lot of times seniors did not like to go out. Sometimes they was afraid of getting a check cash and somebody might try to rob them. So here now comes along these nice young men that brings them fresh vegetables to their door, push their trash and stuff out for them, cuts their grass, cashes their check without cheating them, don't charge them nothing to cash their check. You know, it was a little dangerous on our part. We had to be careful that we didn't get robbed. But I'm just saying, you know, that the opportunity was there because of the things that we offered within the market that we were dealing with. And so that's one of the things that you have to analyze in your business plan, is assessing the market opportunity. Next is planning marketing. Well, like I said, we had our market plan because basically we knew that the time of the month for us to make things happen was when seniors got their checks. And that was very, very important to have a plan, time. And because, see, you got to plan what you're going to do. And you just can't say, well, you know, I'm going to run this business. And as I run this business, you know, let me see what happens. No, you got to plan your marketing. Next is modeling your operations. See, we had, and like I said in the first business, we had our operation down pat. You know, operation, it was very simple. We went to the French market. We got fresh produce and vegetables and stuff. We brought it back to our apartment. We bagged it. You know, we had to buy our bags and stuff. We had to make sure that stuff didn't go rotten inside of our apartment. We couldn't, you know, we had a time limit, which was good. We knew we had a 10-day period of each month that we sold. And then after that, that was it to next month. And, you know, and we stuck to our operation plan. We didn't try. When that 10 days was over, because also we was in college, too, at the time. We still had schoolwork and other stuff to do. When that 10-day window was closed, we didn't do no marketing. We basically, you know, what we did a little bit of marketing study, find out from farmers, you know, when they come, when we come back next month, what prices might would look like, so we can figure out how much money we needed to save from what we had turned, and you know how to deal with all of that. Next is assessing and adjusting your model. When you have problems, you have to assess and adjust your model. So these are your preparatory steps that you have to look at in terms of putting in your business plan. And this is very, very, you know, these things are very, very important in terms of putting them in there. Now, when you write a business plan, and these is, I just went over the first part, went over what to do writing a business plan and, you know, and things that you need to think about when putting your business plan together. Next, I want to look at how to write a business plan. How to write a business plan. And when you write a business plan, there's about 9 things that you want to put in your business plan. And again, I'm going to give you the resource where you can get all of this information from. I'm going to even type it up in the chat room. And basically, you know, so you know where to go get this information from. You're going to have an executive summary, a company and product overview, market analysis, marketing and sales plan, operations plan, management team, your financials, funds required and use, and refine your plan. And that's, you know, very, very important in terms of, you know, putting all of that together, you know, and where you can get this information from. And they have a lot of free resources on here. And they got some stuff they want, they, you know, they, you know, that you might want to buy into, but they have a lot of stuff that you can do in classes you can take for free. None other than Trump University. That's right. Hey, Don has a nice site out there. I'm going to list the site in the chat room. It's called as www.trumpuniversity. Yeah, I'm going to type this out right. Well, your university.com. And in there, you can sign up for courses on real estate. You can sign up for courses on business. This is from their business course section, and it's called How to Write a Business Plan. And it will give you all of the information that I'm sharing with you this morning. Typing right here. Okay, yeah, I got that done. All the information that I'm sharing with you this morning, you can pull right from there. And, you know, it'll walk you through it. They have some audios that help you, and then even some pieces that you can use for helping you put together your own business plan. And you want to have a business plan, people, whatever type of business it is. If it's no more, like right now, my wife is doing marketing her crocheted hats. And so with that, you know, we still have wrote out a business plan and wrote out who's her target market, you know, what does she need as far as materials, how does she plan to advertise, how do you get those things out. And so that's very, very important that you write a business plan. Okay, now your executive summary, that's like your overview. And the executive summary is basically, this is the first section of your business plan that potential investors review. And it's got to be short, sweet, and to the point. See, it can't be, you want it to be one page, no more than 2 to 5 pages. See, it's too much for people to read. They don't understand it right away. They're not reading the rest of your business plan. Believe me, I'm telling you this. It's important you understand this. You know, and, you know, this is the section of your business plan that potential investors review. It is also probably the last section of the plan that you will write. Now, check that out. See, because you're going to put all this other stuff together, but it's usually probably the last section that you're going to write because this is your capture page. Here you capture the trust and imagination of your reader. You might not be able to judge a book by its cover, but an investor is quite likely to judge a business by its plan, by its executive summary. If there are errors or omissions in this section, the investor might not even read the rest of your plan. An executive summary should be brief, 2 to 5 pages. Introduction to the business plan outlines the business opportunity and vision, the market for which your product and service, and trends and projections for the market, the competitive advantage that your products or service offers, the skills and experience of your company's management team, and a summary of the offering and anticipated returns. I'll repeat that. And again, you can get this right off of Trump University on how to write a business plan. And again, people, a lot of this stuff is not rocket science. I tell you, you got the internet at your hands, and you can go and you can access stuff for days. And I started using Trump University after reading Why We Want You to Be Rich by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. If you remember, you know, we went over that book not too long ago on this show. But let me read that again to you. And then I'm gonna go to Ruth because I don't know how long she's gonna be able to hang with us this morning as she's listening in. But since we're going to 9:45, and I'm gonna get her up before 9:30, get some comments from her and an affirmation, and then share and close out. But let me go over this again. Executive summary should be brief, 2 to 5 pages. Introduction to the business plan that outlines the business opportunity and vision, the market for which your product and service, and trends and projections for the market, the competitive advantages offered by your product or service, the skills and experience of your company's management team, and a summary of the offering and anticipated returns. See, because this is what's going to get investors to make a decision about whether or not they're going to invest in your business plan and whether or not it's even worth to read the rest. So you don't want no omissions out of here. You don't want no typos. You know, this is the piece. That you know, it's like called like your elevator pitch, you know. You know, how do you capture their attention? Short and sweet and to the point. Because this is going to make or break it, your executive summary. And I'll go into some of the other parts in a few moments here. Let me bring up our Drive Time listener and faithful, loyal Drive Time listener. Good morning, Ruth. How you feeling this morning?
Good morning, Baba Jahi. I am wonderful. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. What a great show you're having today. I'm loving it. Last week you had taxes. This week the business plan, you're really helping us get our business off to a great start in 2009 and helping us shine in 2009. So thank you so much.
All right. Do you have an affirmation or anything you'd like to share with us this morning?
Yes, I do. My affirmation, I just thought of this one as I'm listening to you. People don't know how much you know until they know how much you care. So
right.
You have a great caring overview in your plan. You know, it comes from your heart. It shows through your business plan. It shows through your work. It shows through your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for those kind words. Yes, you know, as I tell people all the time, you know, you can get people to help you with your business plan, but it has to come from you. It has to come from your experience. It has to come from what you want to do because you're the one that's got to implement it.
That's true. And that executive summary you're going about,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what's going to tell people why they want to do business with you,
right.
why they want to invest their time, their money, everything with you. So that is, I'm so glad you're going over that. It's your why. Remember we talked about your why. Know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be very clear coming through. It must be clear coming through that executive summary. And I'm going to get off now because I got to clock in at work. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I love this show. Everybody, tell Eric, spread the news about this good show here we have. This is a great asset to your business. Make this a part of your business plan for 2009 also to stay in touch with Baba Jahi. Thank you, Baba Jahi. Have a great day.
You have a wonderful day, too. And thank you, Ruth, for being a faithful Drive Time listener. God bless you. Okay. You heard from Ruth this morning, and she was sharing, you know, with us. And again, yes, people, you know, your business plan, it has to come from your heart. You can get the technical expertise and stuff that you need from, you know, other people, but it's got to come from your heart. And she was saying that that the executive summary. Then check out an investor's perspective. This is what investor says. Investors, they say the following. If you don't capture my attention in the first paragraph of your executive summary, it's likely that I will not read the rest of your plan. See, if you don't capture their attention in that first paragraph, and it's the same as I remember when, I went to a conference, Black Enterprise Entrepreneur Conference, and they was going over your elevator pitch. You know what I mean? All this stuff, all this time I have been in business, like an elevator pitch. And the guy said, yeah, if you got on an elevator with somebody, and by the time you got on the elevator and they got off and y'all got off, you got to be able to pitch them. What would you say? You don't have time to rumble and bumble. What would you say? What would you say? See, that's like how your executive summary's got to be. What's going to capture their attention that's going to make them interested? So you need to work on that, people, if you're developing a business or if you're just, refining your business. If you're just trying to look at how to take your business to the next level, think about how you would, what would you say to capture somebody's attention in 30 seconds or less? Hey, that's what's going to help you get to that next level. It's very, very important. And so, again, this first part we're talking about, your executive summary tips. Tips for writing your winning executive summary. Demonstrate your understanding of the business and the industry. Predict and address the concerns that a potential investor might have. Include highlights of how and when the business will pay back investors. Key, 3 points. And writing a winning executive summary. Demonstrate your understanding of the business and the industry. You got to be able to demonstrate your understanding of the business and the industry. It's like one of the businesses I'm in right now. I'm in the travel business. The travel business is 42% of all dollars spent on the internet is spent on travel. Travel is a $7 trillion industry worldwide, $1.7 trillion in the United States, over $243 million spent every minute. Big industry. Largest industry on the planet, bigger than financial services, wellness industry, and automobiles and other stuff combined. So you got to know your industry. I know my industry in terms of the travel industry, so that's why I know when I share with people about getting involved in the travel industry, explaining to them the bigness of the industry and how there's space in it for them. And now with my company, we've gone after the other 58 cents on the dollar. As I told you, 42% of the dollar spent on travel. The other 58% is spent on consumer goods and services. Hey, we got a new thing that we're dealing with called Aisle 19. If you hadn't heard about it, go to our website, www.jahitravelsite.com, and you'll see the link that says Book Travel and Shop Aisle 19. Check out Aisle 19. We show you how to save money on your consumer purchases over the internet, get cash back, and if you're interested, on your own aisle 19 and make money as people shop over the internet. So, you got to know briefly, quickly, and fast your industry and, how people can participate in that industry. And so, always make sure that when I'm talking to people, if I only have a few seconds, I talk to them specifically in a specific way, and then I'll wait and get an appointment to go into more detail. I'm talking to people about travel, and I'm trying to pique their interest into why they want to get into business that I'm involved. I ask them 3 basic questions. Do you travel to take vacations? They say yes. Ask them, do you get any money back when you take a vacation or travel? They say no. Do you get a tax write-off when you take a vacation or travel? They say no. I say, if I could show you how to get a tax write-off, get money back, and get paid when you travel, would you be interested in hearing about that? They say yes, then I set up an appointment to meet with them. That's it, that quick and fast. That's what I mean. Your business has to be the same way, whatever your business is. Again, to learn about Aisle 19, you can go to www.jahitravelsite. I'll put it in the chat room also. Let me do that while we're here talking so that you can know how to get and access that. The next part of the business plan that we want to go to is, hold on, I'll bring it right up here in a second here. The next part of the business plan we want to go to, it's called an overview, is the company and the product overview. The company and the product overview. You got to be able to explain your company and what your product overview is. And so, you know, that's important. You know, I just briefly gave you some information on company, the company that I'm with. And you got to be able to hit people with, you know, your company. What is your company? And what is your product? You know, that's what people want to know. What is, you know, what's your company? What's your product? You know, it's this is sometimes a single section of your business plan and sometimes two separate sections. Either way, your business plan should cover the key content. The company overview provides a bird's eye view of your organization as it exists today and as you envision it existing in the future. Your goal is to summarize how all of the elements fit together into a cohesive plan. And the product or service overview section of your business plan describes the features and benefits of the products or service you plan to offer in the most clear and secure terms you can muster. So you got a company overview, a product overview, and it's important, you know, to be able to share with people how does your organization exist, how do you see it in the future. You know, what are the features and benefits of the product or the service that you offer? Again, I repeat that. How does your organization exist today, and how do you envision existing in the future? So in other words, you got to have plans for your future in terms of your business. Very, very important. You got to have plans for your future. Without having plans for your future, you know, people just figure you're going to be stagnant. So that's very, 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 very important. And then, you know, what are the benefits? So when you do that, you know, there's six main points that you want to cover in dealing with your writing a winning company and product overview. You want to include a history of sales, profits, or other company financial information. You know, what is your history, your company's history in delivering the services, sales, and its profits, and your other financial information. Be honest about challenges you faced in the past and overcame. What some of the challenges you had, how did you overcome them? Demonstrate your understanding of the industry. Again, you know, no one's going to invest in your business or take your business serious if you can't demonstrate your understanding of the industry that you're involved in. You got to know your industry. Show that you talk with distributors, competitors, or retailers. See, you got to be able to know who your competitors are. You got to know who distributes and retails the products or services that you deal with. Articulate the features and benefits of your product or service and clearly chart the path to product development. These are very, very important. Very, very important. I want to close out this morning with this last part of business plan talking about market analysis, and we're going to pick back up on this on Thursday. In the market analysis section of your business plan, your goal is to demonstrate how your business will generate sales and succeed given market conditions. Here you really have to show your reader that you've done your homework. You got to really show that you've done your homework. How do you plan to generate sales and succeed given the current marketing conditions? It's just like when the people had to go put a bailout with GM, you know. I was reviewing Why Should I Bail You Out. They'd have to show me, based on current marketing conditions, how they're going to increase sales. Because I ain't bailing you out. I wouldn't anyway. You got to be able to show how you're going to increase sales. Nobody is going to invest in a sinking ship. Come on, people, that don't make sense. Why would somebody invest in a sinking ship? you know, the ship's going under and it's probably trying to sell you stock in it. You know, if it's going to be bailed out, you'd have to come up with a plan to show me how, based on current market conditions, you're going to turn around what's going on. And I understand you might not be instantly, but you still got to have a plan how it's going to turn around over time. You just can't throw bad money, good money for bad money, as they say. You just can't throw out money like that. It's not, it doesn't make mathematical sense. As Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki say in their book, Why We Want You to Be Rich, they say a sixth grader could figure it out. A sixth grader can figure out that you can't have stocks that you're giving people $200 return on, but they sell for $50. It's a $150 deficit. How you gonna? It just ain't gonna add up. Let me try to go to the store and write bad checks and see what's gonna happen. You know, you can't operate on a deficit. You got to so you got to better show current market conditions how this business is going to work and how, you know, based on your projected sales. Other than that, I'd be stupid to invest in your business. Be a real idiot going to invest in something that's not going to give me a return on the money. So I mean, you know, these are some key points. Like I said, Thursday we will pick this back up at this section on market analysis. I'm just going to give you a few market analysis tips as we close out on this, you know, on this section, and then review it again, and then we'll go into the marketing and sales plan, operation plan, management team, financials, funds required, and uses, and refine your plan. We'll go over that Thursday. But remember these tips from writing a winning market analysis. Demonstrate your understanding of the industry. Again, you got to demonstrate you understand the industry. Identify and address business risks. Include a detailed description of your target customer. Identify all direct and indirect competitors. Direct and indirect competitors. And discuss your market position relative to competitors. What makes you different than your competitors? And how are you going to make a profit? Because that's what people are going to want to know and what you're going to have to be able to respond to. This has been Baba Jahi. I want to thank you so much for tuning in this morning and listening to us. And, hey, you know, it's going to be a wonderful day. Tune back in with us Thursday as we do part two of Why You Need a Business Plan. And I'm going to close out this morning with a song called Thank You for Your Love. The song was sent to us by one of our faithful listeners all the way over there in Sweden. Yes, we have people listening to us from around the world, and I want to show my appreciation. It's a decent song. I like the song. My wife liked the song. I thank them for sharing the song with us, and I'm going to share it with you as we close out this morning. I'm in love and that's about Until next time, God bless everybody. Hey, see you and hear you Thursday morning, 9 a.m. for part two of Why You Need a Business Plan. This is Bobby Jahi signing off. Peace and blessings. Love you.